Well, let's go over to Luke chapter 4. Luke, the fourth chapter. And we're going to kick off 2017 with verse 18. Thank you, Levi. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And thank you, Tony. We're going to stand on our feet as we do it. And I'd like you that as we say this, say it like you mean it. Say it like it's real to you. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you got to act like you got it in order to get it. You follow what I'm saying? You know, I heard Brother Hagin say that a lot of times. He said, man, I'd be feel just totally carnal and feel totally beaten down and all this stuff. And he said, and he just realized, I'm going to have to start out in the flesh to wind up in the spirit. And so he said, by the time I jumped off that podium, start running around the church, by the time my feet hit the ground, I went from the flesh to the spirit. Amen. Sometimes you just got to call those things that be not as though they were. And sometimes calling them that be not as though they were is not just verbally. Sometimes it's acting that way. Amen. Well, I don't believe in acting. I believe in being real. Well, real carnal. You're just going to stay real carnal if you do that. You know, if you want to be spiritual, you're going to have to act, as the Bible says, imitate God as dear children. Mimic Him. Amen. So act like it. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Repeat after me. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Aren't you glad that is your reality, that you are anointed, that you are blessed? I like to say it this way, I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Amen. And sometimes you just got to say it with some attitude, too. You know, with two snaps and a twist, you know what I mean? Just say it that way. You know, like you mean it. Praise God. I'm just telling you, good fruit follows that behavior. Well, we're beginning a series here on Thursday mornings during the times where I'm teaching, and I started this at the end of last year, and I'm calling it Healing's Top 25. Healing's Top 25. And I'm taking it from the example we have in college athletics. You know, in the NCAA, they have in football and basketball what's called the top 25, which is what? It's the top 25 ranked teams in college athletics. Amen? Well, we know in the collegiate level, there is a whole lot more than 25 universities. There is hundreds upon hundreds of them, right? But there's 25 that people consider and rank as the best. Well, I believe God, in the four Gospels, has given us 25 of the best specific cases of healing that we have. Not because they were more spectacular, more grand, or more glorious than all the other healings that Jesus performed, but simply because these are the ones that the Lord determined that we need to know. You know, the Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I got written in my Bible, that includes Ecclesiastes. That includes Leviticus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. That the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly furnished, fully equipped unto every good work. In other words, the Lord inspired these gospel writers to record these specific accounts of healing for what purpose? In order for you and I to be blessed by them, for you and I to be fully equipped to live and navigate the troubled waters of life. Amen. So in other words, they're in there not just to give us a historical lesson. They're in there to give you and I bread to live by. Amen. Praise God. These things are put out there simply for that reason. Robert, would you do me a favor? Would you bump me down a little bit? I think there's a lot of gain going on. Thank you, sir. Well, let's go over to three openings. We're going to be talking about another specific type of healing today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 1, and Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing already in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. People are going to be healed today. If you came in here, let me go ahead and give you a fair warning. If you've got sickness in your body and disease and you want to keep it, you best leave right now. Because it's in serious danger right now. Amen. Well, that sounds pretty arrogant. Well, to be, you just got to live on the edge. That's where the best fruit is. So, Matthew chapter 8, Mark 1, and Luke 4. Thank you, Lord. The healer is in the house. We're going to be talking today about the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. The healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Now, some people think this is why Peter denied Jesus three times at the end of his ministry, because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. I don't know, that might be true. Let me describe to you the perfect illustration of mixed emotions. Your mother-in-law driving your brand new Cadillac off a cliff. Yes, no! That went over some of y'all's heads, but that is the perfect illustration of mixed emotions. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8 first. That didn't go over very well. All right. I love my mother-in-law. Thank you, Lord. Make sure she gets the CD, Shannon, please. Thank you. Matthew chapter 8. It's all right to have fun in church, y'all. You understand that? It's okay to laugh. The Lord, it's not troubling Him at all. He's okay. All right? The Bible says the Lord sits on His throne in heaven and laughs. Now, the vision we have of God is He's sitting up there with a scowl on His face, just looking down, just all angry, upset about something all the time. That is not God. He rejoices over you with singing, with gladness. He's dancing over you. That's what He's doing. This is our God. And if we're supposed to be imitating Him, we should be happy too. Amen. Matthew chapter 8. That's right. Ha, ha, ha. Matthew chapter 8. And let's look at verse 14 through verse 15. Peter's mother-in-law getting healed. It says in verse 14, "Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house," stop right there. Peter had a house. This is like revolutionary concept to some people. And you understand, this was after he left all and followed the Lord. So guess what he did not do when he professed Jesus as his Lord and made himself a disciple? He didn't give away everything he had. He didn't lose it. In fact, this is a great lesson for us, because if you look at this, they came into Peter's house. Where would they have gone if Peter didn't have a house there? They'd have been out on the street, right? You got to understand, the Lord doesn't mind you having things, having stuff. Stuff is simply a tool that the Lord loves to use to bless people. Amen. So it's not bad to have stuff. In fact, your stuff is a tool that the Lord can use to minister to people. That's a perfect message going into First Fruit Sunday, isn't it? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Listen, the Lord said through the psalmist, I love this scripture. It tells us, it commands us to do this. You ready for this? The psalmist said, "Let them who favor your righteous cause say continually." Now, there's not too many scriptures that tell us to say something constantly. We have, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall be continually in my mouth." So you're supposed to be praising God all the time. But this thing tells you to say something specifically. What does it say?
Let those who favor my righteous cause say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think the Lord might want you to continuously say this? Because our belief system seems to gravitate towards the opposite. For God not to be magnified. Which that doesn't, it's not just a religious term that we say. To say that the Lord be magnified means, Lord, be bigger in my sight. Be glorified. Be enlarged in my vision and in my focus. I want to see God bigger than I currently see Him right now. You're not making God bigger, but you're just seeing Him bigger. Amen. Do you think that might have something to do with you receiving more? Absolutely. Little stinking thinking receives little. The Bible says that we can limit the Holy One of Israel through our small thinking, our small faith. By just simply not seeing God as able to do something in our own heart. Seeing God as willing to do something. We can inhibit God from doing everything He wants to do in our life. So what should we be doing? We should be continuously saying, Lord, be magnified. Lord, be magnified in my sight. Help me to see You in all Your glory, in all Your goodness, in all Your splendor. Become bigger to me so that I can enlarge my capacity to receive more from You. Which is what the next phrase goes on to say when he says, who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. Some of you are praying and saying, Lord, I want to be more pleasing to You. Well, start getting blessed and you'll put a smile on His face. He has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. How many servants of God do I have in here? Do you consider yourself a servant of God? God has pleasure when you succeed. When you are blessed. When you are healed. This is what blesses Him. So you should be continuously saying this so that you can have more to bless people with. Amen. The Bible says we have now the blessing of Abraham. And the Bible says that the blessing of Abraham contains this one thing. You shall be blessed and you shall be a blessing. If you are not blessed, it's going to be very hard for you to be a blessing. Amen. So we should be getting blessed. Blessed in our bodies, blessed in our finances, blessed in our relationships, blessed in our emotional state, blessed in every area, blessed, blessed, blessed. In fact, let's just say that word three times. Say blessed, blessed, blessed. It just feels better to say that word, doesn't it? I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. No matter what the devil throws at me, I'm like that cork that as much as you try to push it down, eventually it's going to rise back up to the top. That's what it means to be blessed. No matter what the devil throws at me, I will come over. I will. Somebody told me that last night. I'd seen him for the first time in a couple of years. I said, man, I'm just seeing God's blessing on you, Pastor. I'm just seeing how God's taking you from where I knew you 2 years ago and how He's increasing, increasing you. And you know what I said? Amen. Because God is the God of increase. God causes me to increase more and more. And as one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. It says, the path of the just. How many just people I got in here? Righteousness of God. The path of you, what? Is like the shining sun. Shines brighter and brighter. Say this after me. Say, my path is getting brighter and brighter until the perfect day. So I'm increasing. I'm growing. I'm going up. Amen. And this is the way you talk continually. Well, I just preached myself happy. Let's get back to this story. Come on now. Now when, that was all from this first phrase. We might not get through this today. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand and the fever left her. And notice this, and she arose and served them. Now this is what's awesome to me. Don't limit the Lord that He can heal you, but there might be a little recovery time to get your strength back. That's not what happened right here. This lady who had been sick with a very high fever gets healed, immediately gets up, starts serving people. Immediately. Say immediately. Immediately. This is the God we serve. Immediate miracles. Amen. And this is an important part of this story, and we're going to get to this in a minute, what this woman did when she ended up getting healed. Now let's go to Mark chapter 1. And notice Mark's description. Now, I want to bring this out to you. Some people don't know this. Did you know that Mark's gospel is actually not Mark's personal account? Mark wasn't there. This is actually, for all intents and purposes, Peter's gospel. Tradition tells us that Peter was the one communicating to Mark what to write here. So this is really Peter's firsthand experience. Important because this was his mother-in-law who got healed. Notice this now. Verse 29, Mark 1:29. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, this is interesting because now Mark's account, which is actually Peter's account, brings out some more specifics about this. This wasn't just Peter's house. This was Simon Peter's house and his brother Andrew's house. In other words, they shared it. They actually were in business together. The Bible tells us that they were actually co-owners of Simon Peter and Andrew's fishing business when they got called and they had the same house together. Okay? And in fact, it would be implied here that Peter's mother-in-law also resided here. Because, you know, you don't come over there to get sick and just stay. She must have lived there. Now, why do I bring this out? I'm bringing this out because it needs to, our eyes need to be opened a little bit to how blessed we already are. You understand that what we personally experience here, most of us, in having our own abode, our own house, where we're not sharing it with other family members and stuff like that, is actually very rare in the world today, and definitely is rare from the world yesterday. This was actually very common for families to live together. We are so blessed and prosperous in this nation to be able to have our own place. We should be thanking God continuously for that. And this is what sets you up for more. When you start thanking God for what you already got. Amen. So this is what's going on here. They entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever. And they told him about her at once. Now this is interesting. The words "at once" here literally mean suddenly, directly. In other words, right when Jesus comes in the house, they got right down to it. And came to Jesus and said, "Oh Jesus, before we do anything else, Peter's mom, mother-in-law over there, needs some healing right now." Now this is significant of why they did that. Okay? And what did we just see? When she got up, she immediately started serving people. Did you know that your reputation, the good fruit and the good works that you do, can cause people to more readily and aptly intercede for you? Yeah. In other words, in order for people to plead your case, it makes it a whole lot easier on people when you are having a reputation of having some good fruit in your life. In other words, people want you around more. You know, when it comes to pleading people's cases, we need to understand something. Some people's cases are more easily pled than others. Some people, we could intercede and say, "Lord, we need them here. They're a blessing to the body. They are doing this and they are doing that. They're always faithfully there. They give to the church. They're serving people constantly." And people start rising up with all their hearts to start interceding for those people. Other people, you just have to say, "Lord, have mercy on them." You understand what I'm saying? See, you don't do things to get that, but it's just good business. If people want to keep you around, start bearing some fruit. Amen. This reminds me actually of another story. Hold your place there and let's go over to Acts 9. Let's go to Acts 9 and let me show you about another lady. See, there's a reason why the Bible records these things. Okay? Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 36. Acts 9 and verse 36. It said, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. Now, you thought you had problems. This little woman's name was Dorcas. I was actually watching a football game during the bowl games going on, and there was this player playing for Michigan whose name was Taco. And I turned to Shannon and I said, what was his mama thinking? Naming her kid Taco. That's his real name. So listen, you ain't got no problems. You might say you don't like your name. At least I'm not named Dorcas. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. She was full of these things. Okay? But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. Stop right there. You know what this illustrates to us? Because people ask the question all the time. They say, why did this happen to them? Or why did this happen to me? They are a good person. What you see right here, biblically, it isn't based on your goodness. This was the epitome of a good, charitable, fruitful Christian, yet she got sick and she died. So what we've got to turn around our mentality of is, did I do something wrong that this has happened to me? Or did they sin? We don't want to be Job's friends. That's all the time trying to find the reason why. Something's just happened because we live in a sin-cursed, fallen world. It's not even all the devil. It's certainly not all God. We know that. You've been coming to this healing school for any period of time. You know it is not God's plan for you ever to be sick, for you ever to be broke, for you ever to be anything less than living in a blessed state.
Amen.
But it isn't always the devil either. We're giving the devil too much credit. Sometimes we're just living in a sin-cursed, fallen world and bad things just happen. Okay? That doesn't mean they have to remain. That mean they have to stay. Amen. Because it didn't here. And then it says, when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Now listen, so they actually went out of their way to send for Peter after she had died. Why? Because she was full of good works and charitable deeds. They wanted to keep her around. It's the point we were just making. Because notice this, then Peter arose and went with them, and when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and look at this, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. In other words, look, Peter, please do something. Look what she's done for the poor. Look at all these great and awesome things she did. See, this intercession occurred on behalf of this woman who had died because she couldn't intercede for herself. Because why? Of her reputation and how much people loved her. So what we're seeing here is the same thing happened with Peter's mother-in-law. She had a reputation, and Peter Poole wanted to keep her around. Go back over to Mark chapter 1. That's a great point. So notice this. Verse 31. So he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Hallelujah. Now let's go over finally, and we're going to camp on this one, Luke chapter 4. Luke's account of the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Things are being deposited into you right now. Amen. That are precious.
Amen.
Don't despise them. And you don't despise them simply by hating them. You despise them by not esteeming them in their proper value. This is precious. The truth from God's Word. Don't let Jesus pass by. Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. It says in verse 38, now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now, it is interesting to go back and read what just happened in the synagogue. Because this particular account of healing in two of the three Gospels makes sure to let us know that when he left the synagogue, this immediately happened. Why? Do you think something maybe that happened in the synagogue has something to do with what's about to happen here? Yeah. What happened? Well, let me give you a quick little paraphrase of what happened. Jesus goes into the synagogue, all right? And then, well, let's just read it. Let's just read it. Goes back to verse 31. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt them. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is. For with what? Authority and power he commands even the unclean spirits, and they come out of him." So the subject at hand from the synagogue is the authority of Jesus to command the demons to come out, to teach with authority. All right? This is significant because what we're about to see in Luke's account. Notice this. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, verse 38. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them. Now let's back up to verse 38 because there's some significant words here. We haven't camped on the word fever yet. In Matthew and Mark's account, it simply just said she was sick with a fever. And that is one Greek word in the original language. It comes from the Greek word pyrisso, spelled P-Y-R-E-S-S-O. P-Y-R-E-S-S-O. And it comes from the root word pyro, which means what?
Fire.
It is also translated fiery or flames. So thus the reason it's translated a fever, because what happens when you get a fever? Your temperature goes up, right? You start burning up, right? But through the words that are being conveyed right here, this shows us this is not a 100-degree temperature. This is not a simple fever. This is a high fever because Dr. Luke, you remember we've made this point before, since Luke is a doctor, he's always more descriptive in describing the different infirmities that are going on. So he is more descriptive here. He says here that she was sick with a high fever, with a great fever. In other words, she was probably at least 103 plus to the point of dying. And you understand they didn't have Tylenol back then. There was nothing to bring the fever down. So this was extremely dangerous during this time. But there's another couple of words in Luke's account that's very significant, because it says she was sick with a high fever. The word sick with, what does it say? Who's got an original King James Version in here? What does it say? She was what?
Taken with.
Taken with a high fever. Now, I want us to really camp on this word because it shows us that sickness, disease, colds, fevers are not our friend. They shouldn't be accepted. They should not be tolerated in our lives, because what do they come to do? Take you. Okay? The words taken with come from the Greek word suneco, spelled S-U-N-E-C-H-O, suneco. It comes from two words. The word sun, which is spelled S-Y-N, literally means with. The word echo means to hold. So it literally means to hold together or to grip tightly. So what we're seeing right here is what? That this high fever was holding her and gripping her tightly. Okay, and I'm going to show you three other times in the Gospels. Actually, this must have been a favorite word of Dr. Luke, because he uses it in three other accounts. in the Gospel of Luke. Let's turn over to three of them. Luke 8:45. Hold your place there in Luke 4. Go to Luke 8 and look at verse 45. Jesus is passing through the midst. This is when the woman with the issue of blood was healed. Okay? And do you remember what happened? It says here in verse 45, "And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes what? Throng and press you.'" That word sunecho is used here. They are hemming you in. They're pushing against you, not allowing you to freely pass through them the way you would normally do it. Okay? You see that? Let's go to two other passages. Luke 19:43. This is when Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem. And notice what he said in verse 43. "For days will come upon you, and when your enemies," make note of that, "will build a what? An embankment around you." The word sunecho is used here to describe that they are now built, they are arraying themselves and surrounding you. Same word that's used in Luke chapter 4. And finally, go over to Luke 22 and verse 63. Notice this one. This was when Jesus, after he had been arrested, how the soldiers were treating him. Okay? It said, "Now the men who held Jesus mocked and beat him." So this describes the guards coming to Jesus and holding him while they were mocking him, spitting defaming things at him, and were beating him physically. These three accounts that I just described to you is the same Greek word that's used in Luke chapter 4 to describe how Peter's mother-in-law was taken with a high fever. So in all these instances, none of these things that are used for this word describe something that was good and beneficial for you. It was always something that people were doing to restrict you, to fight against you, to hem you in, to attack you. Right? That's the same thing that fevers do to you. They're not your friend. Amen. And I wrote this out. I want to read this to you. This gives us an interesting picture of certain sicknesses, doesn't it? The high fever she had her hemmed in. It surrounded her, attacking her like an army. It gripped her and held her so that it could beat her and oppress her. So this doesn't sound like sickness is our friend, does it? And I think it's very interesting that the word taken is what's used in the original King James. Because the idea of taking something describes we don't have a choice. This is something that's trying to be forced on us. And how many of you, when you got sick, just basically said, "Hey, Lord, you know, I'd kind of like to have a fever. I hadn't had a fever in a couple of years, so I'm just inviting a high fever to come upon me." Anybody ever done that? Nobody does that. It comes uninvited, and it attempts to force itself upon you to where you don't have a choice in the natural. You following me? That proves to us that it is never God's will for us to be sick. Why? Because God is the God of free will. And if we do not have a choice, it's not God. I just got that this week. That's good to me. If you don't have a choice in the matter, if your free will is not involved, it cannot be God. And why do I bring this out? Because you'll have people that will come to you, and I've heard them. I've heard the stories. But the people will come to you in a wheelchair or with a cane or with some other infirmity. And they'll basically say, "Well," and they'll get all spiritual when you start talking about it. They'll go, "Well, this is God's giving me my cross to bear. You ever heard that before? People say, in this wheelchair, this cane, my crippling effect that this is having on my body is God's cross that He has given me to bear. Absolutely false, untrue is never God's will for you. Amen. You know what I say to people that say, this is just my cross to bear? I'd say to them, say, okay, really? Well, prove it. And get up and walk right now without it. Why? Because if it is your cross, Jesus said, take up your cross. Indicating if you can take it up, you can lay it down.
Amen.
It's a choice. And it becomes crystal clear to me what the cross really is that He's telling us to take up, because cross is a descriptor of death. So what it's telling you is to take up your cross. It's telling you, die to yourself, your own wants, your own desires, your own ambitions, and live fully for the cause of Christ.
Yes.
That's all the cross is. It ain't a thorn in the flesh. It ain't Job's boils. And it's sad to say, but more Christians have more faith in Paul's thorn and Job's boils than they do in Jesus' stripes. And that's sad. Makes me want to cry right now. It's sad. But this is the way people believe. This is what people have embraced. And this is what the devil has done to come and dupe us and make us think that this is God. You'd never do that to your children. How many of you would ever, your child's just acting up. Okay, I'm going to break his back so you'll look up to me. There's not one nation on this planet today that would not lock you up, throw the keys away if you did that to your kids. Why would we think God, who is a whole lot gooder than we are, would do that to His children? No, sickness, disease, infirmity are not your crosses to bear. They are what? They are an oppressor. They are an enemy. And they come to take you and hold you and hem you in and make you do something you don't want to have. Showing us they are demonic. They are darkness. They are not God's plan for us. They're never God's will, never shall be. Amen. But notice this back in Luke 4. Thank you, Lord. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. As you continue in it. Glory to God. Luke chapter 4. Because I want to make another. This is a big point right here in this story. Oh, I got plenty of time. Thank you, Lord. He slowed the sun down for me. Another miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 4. Let's start in verse 38 again. Now he arose from the synagogue. Now, hold on. Let's stop right here. Somebody out there is thinking, I don't know if I believe this, Trey. Well, don't worry about it. It ain't going to trouble you any. If you want to keep your sickness, you want to keep your infirmity, the Lord, it's free will. You can keep it. If you want to. I choose not to, though. I choose to walk in the healing and health that my God has purchased for me, and I hope you do too. This glorifies the Lord. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them. Now, I think it is interesting that if you go back and recall all three, Matthew's account, Mark's account, and now Luke's account, they all said this woman got healed in different ways. Mm-hmm. Matthew's account, he simply touched her. Mark's account, he took her by the hand and lifted her up. Luke's account, what did he say here? He stood over her and rebuked the fever. So you know what that illustrates to me? It don't matter how it gets done. It only matters that it got done. You know, we get so hung up on, well, it's got to happen this way, or it's got to happen this way. You know, I'm just telling you, I'm liberal in this respect in terms of ministry, that I'm not so concerned with people's doctrine as much as I am, are they getting people healed? That's all that matters. Doesn't matter how it happens, it just matters that it's happening. Amen? But I love how it happened in Luke's account. Again, what does he say? He stood over her and rebuked the fever. Notice it did not say that he rebuked Peter. Or notice it didn't say he rebuked Peter's mother-in-law. No, he rebuked the fever. So Jesus was talking to a fever. Isn't that awesome? He's talking to a fever. So then a good question would be at this point, can fevers hear? Let's read the next verse. Right after that it says, he rebuked the fever and it left her. Indicating what to us? That fevers can hear. And you know what the good news about it is? You ready for some shouting out right here? You ready for this? If fevers can hear, tumors can hear. If tumors can hear, colds can hear. If colds can hear, a human heart can hear. If a fever can hear, it can be concluded that any other inanimate object like that can hear. So why don't we start talking to them? You know, this was a common thing in Jesus' ministry. Jesus talked to trees. He talked to trees. He talked to the wind. He talked to the ocean. And then he did not say, don't try this at home. Then he encouraged his disciples to talk to something bigger. Hey, you like the way I talk to this tree? Start talking to this mountain right here. In other words, he didn't say, don't try this at home. He encouraged them to do it themselves. Encouraging you and I to do the same thing. I regularly talk to my checkbook. I regularly talk to my bank account. I talk to my body. And you know, things come against you. There's natural things that will come against you. But you know what you need to do? Talk to them. When the pain hits, when something happens, don't sit there and say, well, I wonder if it's heart disease. Oh, I wonder if I got a kidney stone. I wonder if that's what's going on. No, you just took it and allowed it to take you. No, you say, when it happens, you say, no, I will not have this pain go from my body. Why? Because I know you can hear. I know you can hear me. I know you can hear me. It can hear. Start talking to it. Changing your world through your faith-filled words. Like I've heard Robert say recently that God, he believes that God's going to give us this authority at some point to where he's going to give us a bunch of nothingness. I heard you say this Sunday morning, I guess. He's going to give us a bunch of nothingness and say, go create something. How do you reckon you're going to do that? Not by might, not by power, by the two-edged sword coming out of your mouth. Just like God did. Light be. So change your world through your faith-filled words by speaking to the mountain and saying, be uprooted, go for my life, go back where you came from. And people will hear this, and what do they say, Minton? They'll say, I think that's just weird. You start talking to things. Well, I think they're weird, those people that say that. Because this is normal according to the Gospels. It should be normal and embraced according to us. Talk to your stuff. Who was it that I was talking to recently? Somebody told me, oh, it was Betty Drew. She's not here this morning. She gave me an awesome testimony. You know, when all the fires were going on and stuff like that and all the smoke was going on. Well, she had some family that was up there in North Carolina, I believe it was. I can't remember the city. And smoke was coming in all around their house. And she was like, Mama, you need to pray for this and this and that. Betty said, and the Lord just quickened to her and said, you can speak to smoke. If you can speak to a fever, you can talk to the smoke. You can talk to the rain. You can talk to all these things. Amen. So she just said, smoke, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get away from my daughter's house. Go in Jesus' name. She gets a call back. Now, this is what faith does. She gets a call back later from her daughter, and she was like, hey, what happened to that smoke? That smoke was gone, wasn't it? She was like, yeah, Mama, it just kept away from our house. Amen. Because she spoke to it. Notice she didn't talk to God about it. This is the mistake most Christians make. We're like, oh God, please. The smoke's coming in. The rain's coming in. God, please do something about the devil for me. He said, I'm not going to do anything else about the devil. I've given you authority. I've given you dominion. I'm getting ahead of myself on Sunday mornings. You already got the authority. You do something about it. Amen. Through your words, because you got that same authority Jesus had in the synagogue right before this happened. So if I got the same authority to command even the unclean spirits, if I got the same authority to teach with anointing, then guess what else I got? I got the same authority to speak to inanimate objects. See, I can only get drunk in the Spirit to be able to do that. I won't do that naturally, praise God. But it gets me excited, glory to God. Because it's what we got. It's what we got the authority to do. Go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. Some of my favorite passages of Scripture. I don't know about y'all, but I sure am glad I came this morning. I have stirred myself up. Thank you, Lord. And you know, when it works for you is when you get excited about it. When you start getting excited about it. I was telling Tony earlier this morning, I was preaching a couple of weeks ago about the Lord's willingness to heal, and he was sitting toward the back at day, and I just watched him, and he started doing this. I mean, he was almost crying. He was crying, and he was just worshiping the Lord, and I saw it. You remember when Paul in Acts said he perceived that this man had faith to be healed? I perceived it in him. He's getting it, which produced a demonstrative action. You just sit there like a knot on the log, might not be getting it. You need to get excited about it. Yeah. Get excited. Woo, hallelujah, this is great. It's great news. What if I were to tell you right now, Tony, what if I were to tell you right now what we would want, we're expecting that doctor to say, you're healed. Totally. There is no cancer in your body anymore. Amen. What would you do if you got that report? That's what you should be doing on this side of the Red Sea. You just get excited like that. Well, I just believe in being real. I don't want to put on. Well, the Bible tells you to put on. It tells you to put these things on. You got to just start acting like it. But I don't want to be... See, you just get out there on the limb like that. And you know what? To where it's basically risky. You'll look like an idiot if it doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? See, that's what keeps us from doing it. Pride. Start doing it, I'm going to get out on the limb. Even if it's going to make me look stupid if it doesn't happen, because I believe in my God that it will happen. Whew. Thank you, Lord. I'm not abiding by that, Levi. He says I got 5 minutes. All right, Mark chapter 11. Let's go over to what Jesus did. This was the account when Jesus talked to the tree. All right? Let's actually back up to verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Now notice this. So all he did was he came up to a tree and saw no figs on it. Notice what the next two words are. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the disciples heard it. But I got a revelation for you. Guess who else heard it? The fig tree. In response, he said this. Now, if you were to respond to something, what's indicated there? That it said something to you. If I'm responding to Robert, I'm responding to something he has already said. So this fig tree was communicating something to him. Lack. Curse. So he responded to it. See, don't wait till you hear an audible voice from your checkbook till you start talking to it. If it's speaking something to you, if that red ink's telling you something, speak to it. Amen. Now skip down to verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. I love this phrase, have faith in God. It literally says in the Greek language, have God's faith. It doesn't say have faith in God. It says have the God kind of faith. In other words, you're encouraged again to do things like your Heavenly Father does them. Have God's faith. Which is also indicated here that in order to have God's faith, you got to speak to it. Because people will sit there and say, well, I got faith all day. But they're never opening their mouth. That does not happen with God. When God has faith, He opens His mouth. Amen. So he said, have the God kind of faith, for assuredly. Now, if in red letters you see the words assuredly, I tell you the truth, or verily, verily, then what you're hearing is, this is something you can even place more faith in, because this is absolutely concrete, cemented in the throne room of God, that it is truth that every person can live by. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever, say whoever. Whoever. Now, how many whoever's I got in here? Amen. Whoever is whoever. No qualifications. He doesn't say, for assuredly I say to you, those who are holy enough. For assuredly I say to you, those who've got a strong prayer life. For assuredly I say to you, if you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. No, whosoever means whosoever. So if I'm a whosoever, this works for me. Amen. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain. So notice what he says right here. He says he's saying it to the mountain. Not talking to God about his mountain. You're speaking to the mountain. In other words, you're talking to the obstacle, to the problem, not to God about the obstacle or the problem. Do you see that? Do you see how most Christians are missing it then? They're praying, they're begging, they're pleading God to do something. And God's like sitting there saying, why are you talking to me about this? Why are you coming to me about this? Didn't I tell you to speak to it? You see that? Amen. So for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. Short and sweet. Get up, come out. You don't have to make a long, drawn out, vain repetition about it. Well, let me write all this out. I'm going to make the perfect confession. No! Just speak up out of your heart with your authority. Limited words. Go! That's it. Amen. And don't be moved if you don't see an instant manifestation. It didn't with Jesus here. He spoke to the fig tree. Then it was the next morning they saw what happened. Apparently nothing happened originally. See, because it takes place underneath the ground and then manifests out there. So it's kind of like this. Devil, come out! Just does that, you just walk off. Ignore it. Don't give the devil a lot of attention. I've had that on my heart a lot lately. Somebody else needs to hear this in here. Some of us are giving the devil too much of our attention. Amen. Amen. We're paying too much attention to what he's doing. He loves that because he's full of pride. And prideful people love you to talk about them. Pay attention to me. Hey, everybody, look at me. Just the worst thing you can do, or the best thing you can do for a prideful person is ignore them. Gets all under their skin. Amen. Be removed, be cast into the sea. And notice this, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things God says will be done. That's right, Martha. What's it say? Believes that those things he says will be done. So the faith is being placed in what you're saying in this. Amen. See, yes, we emphasize we need to have faith in God's Word. We need to learn to believe what the Bible says and what the truth is. But you know something? You also need to develop some faith in what you say. Amen. But if you're constantly going around telling people, I'll be there at 5 o'clock, and then you show up at 5:30, or if you tell people, I'm going to do this for somebody, and then you don't do it, then you're not going to ever convince your own self that your word is true. So then when you turn around and speak to the problem, your body's already programmed to understand he don't really mean what he says anyway. That's why your word needs to be yes and amen, just like God's. Amen? Finally, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You know what I love about this scripture right here? Everybody, I've heard people condemn these scriptures and try to say, well, that's just one of them Haganites. That's just one of them Copelandites. Amen. Yes, I've been chewing on some Copeland Hagen for a lot part of my Christian walk. Hallelujah. And it tastes pretty good. Bing. Hallelujah. But listen, it's not what Kenneth Hagen said or what Kenneth Copeland said or any other word of faith preacher. Jesus said this. And if Jesus said it, it is established in heaven, and you can bet the bank that we have the authority to practice the same. Jesus encouraging you. Yeah, you can talk to fevers. You can talk to this mountain right here. Does not matter. Use your authority and start talking to your problem. Look down at that cancer and say, go in Jesus' name. You cannot remain. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Hallelujah. And keep doing it, even if you feel like you're not getting results for months. Amen. Press through it. That is a big key to people. I'm telling you, I never saw any results in praying for people to be healed for a long time. But you know what I did? I kept doing it. Kept laying hands on people. Kept speaking into them. And you know what happened? Then the gifts started flowing. I started seeing more people healed. I started seeing more prophecy coming out. Because the Lord looked down and said, he's faithful. I entrust him with more. So be faithful with your words and watch God back it up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you, Lord.